From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Insight is officially back from summer break, and there has been no shortage of politics out of the state capitol and across the country. From state lawmakers going on summer recess after tackling a budget and housing-heavy agenda, to a controversial billionaire's tax measure qualifying for this year's November ballot. Major decisions from the Supreme Court that have significant influence here in California. And on the fun side, the Golden State reaping the benefits of the uniting force that is the World Cup. Joining us now with a breakdown of some of these latest moves in state politics is Blake Jones, co-author of Politico's California Playbook. Welcome back, Blake.
Thanks for having me.
So Independence Day, of course, was this weekend. Did anything stand out to you about how elected officials commemorated the holiday and the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration?
Yeah, there wasn't anything, you know, too crazy out of California. Governor Newsom did deliver an address that he called a Declaration of Election Independence, kind of hitting back at, you know, what he's argued are, you know, attempts by President Trump to, you know, worsen our election process or cast doubt over it. But, you know, I don't think that he got quite the national headlines that a similar address from New York City, Soren Mamdani, made out on the East Coast.
I mean, well, focusing a little bit on elections, the Supreme Court last week ruled to allow states to continue counting ballots postmarked on Election Day. California is known for a long ballot counting process, including those with postmarks. So what was the response from California Democrats and Republicans to the SCOTUS ruling?
Well, from Democrats, I think it was a major sigh of relief. You know, Democratic politicians here have, you know, decided that they're willing to take this trade-off, obviously, of, you know, having a little bit longer ballot counting process as long as it ends up having more people voting by sending in their ballots on Election Day. We also saw kind of a sigh of relief from some of the county registrars who we talked to, who, you know, of course, are the people charged with carrying out these election processes and counting the ballots on the ground. You know, they were, you know, trying to do some contingency planning, but they were, you know, not prepared for the, you know, the chaos really that would, that they said would exist in their offices if suddenly in November they had to, you know, totally alter their timelines and count ballots much faster.
Yeah, I mean, given that we're on the heels of the primary, what kind of scrutiny has California's processes received just given the primary election last month?
Yeah, I mean, you saw President Trump, you know, make some erroneous claims about the state's election integrity, you know, saying baselessly that it was rigged when Los Angeles Republican, you know, reality TV star, former reality TV star Spencer Pratt didn't end up making it through the runoff. You know, of course, it's typical for ballots that are counted later to, you know, break kind of in Democrats' favor, but it did open up a window for some election conspiracy peddling. And, you know, even if there's no truth to them, it does create some discomfort, I think, for some Democrats in the state.
Well, come November, there will be some ballot measures that voters will decide on. One of the responses backed by Republicans to the state's voting rules has been a voter ID ballot measure. It will go before voters in November. What kind of support is it getting?
Yeah, it's built an interesting coalition. It's, of course, led by Republicans. You know, some of the chief Republican officials working on it are Firebrand Assembly member Carl DeMaio, a Republican from the San Diego area. You've also seen Representative Ken Calvert has been pretty out front on this. But I think a more interesting supporter that has emerged in recent days was Rick Caruso, who is the billionaire mall magnate who ran as a Democrat for Los Angeles mayor in 2022 after being a Republican earlier in life. You know, now that he is not a candidate, this is, you know, one of the first, if not the first, Republican causes that he has donated to in recent years. And I think that's been an interesting shift from him. And I'm very curious to see if we'll have more, you know, centrists either funding or supporting this effort.
Any sense on how California voters feel about it?
Yeah, it's hard to say. There has been some early polling from one of Berkeley's, you know, public policy arms, and That found the measure, you know, hovering around the 50% mark, which is quite frankly not where you want to be. As a California ballot measure, the conventional wisdom is that you want to be at closer to 60% before the campaign has actually begun, because typically, as campaigning happens, numbers go down, and often voters, if they don't know one way or the other how they feel about a ballot measure, they tend to vote no.
Another controversial measure that's going to be on the ballot is the billionaire wealth tax. So what exactly does this measure propose to do?
Yeah, so this measure would place a one-time 5% tax on the wealth of billionaires who reside in California. And like you said, it has been controversial, not least because Governor Newsom is opposed to it. Of course, he's turned around and he's said that he thinks a national wealth tax is in order ahead of a likely presidential run, but he's argued that a state-based wealth tax would, you know, cause a flight of billionaires out of the state toward other states in the U.S. But you know, it is. I'm very curious to see how this is going to play out. We've seen the campaign that is supporting it, which is one particular part of SEIU California, one local that has been pushing this, that is advocates for healthcare workers. You know, they burned up a lot of their money getting this measure qualified, and now, you know, I think they have some work to do to, you know, get their message to voters.
Okay, so the governor was initially opposed to it. His stance has evolved now that it's going to be heading to voters in November. SEIU, an arm of SEIU, are the main backers behind this measure. Who else is in opposition? I mean, billionaires?
Certainly billionaires, definitely billionaires. They do not want this, shockingly. But yeah, so you've seen, you know, a few tech executives have gotten involved in funding the effort. But, you know, I think what has already, you know, been the case so far, and what you're going to continue to notice, is that these billionaires who are helping bankroll the opposition campaign are not going to be the face of it, to the extent the campaign can control that. You know, there are unions that have opposed the tax, including the California Teachers Association. I think that's going to be a much more likely face of the opposition. Teachers probably a lot more popular than billionaires at the moment, and you know, and they have some policy reasons that they're opposed, including the fact that they have their own schools funding tax that they're trying to get renewed on the same ballot, and they would prefer that voters, you know, help schools rather than tax billionaires to fund some healthcare related causes.
I mean, you just kind of laid out there's like a handful of ballot measures in November. What other ones are on your radar that you find pretty interesting?
Yeah, so there are a few actually that interact directly with the billionaires tax. There are a couple that were devised by the opponents to try to sink it. One of them, if it passed by a higher margin than the billionaires tax, would basically cancel that out and stop the wealth tax from taking effect. Voter ID, as you mentioned, is certainly going to be really interesting. And then we also have a couple of housing bonds coming up, which will be sort of our next test of, you know, where voters are at on, you know, the need to build housing. I think there's conceptual support for that, but you know, one of them would, you know, incur some debt for the state that it would have to pay off. Another is kind of geared at middle class homeowners, helping them make down payments on their homes through a sort of revolving loan fund, which basically gets replenished as you know, folks make payments on those loans. So I think, yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting test as a whole, this ballot, on how voters are feeling about tax increases right now.
Has there been a lull in campaigning ahead of November for competitive races?
Yeah, there has. I think a lot of folks are just fundraising right now. Like even, you know, recently the last kind of private appearance that I've seen out of gubernatorial candidate Javier Becerra was at a fundraiser down in the Central Valley. So yeah, I think this is the time where you restock the campaign war chest and strategize before making some more public appearances once voters maybe start to pay a little more attention again.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Politico's Blake Jones about the latest updates in California politics. Well, speaking of summer break, the legislature is on recess, but in the lead up to the break, it was definitely busy. Starting off with the state budget, is everything squared away with that?
Yes. So the state budget is finished at last. The governor and legislature struck an agreement for Newsom's final budget. You can occasionally see some little changes to it kind of around the edges later on when the legislature comes back. But for the most part, they've completed it. There are going to be a couple of new taxes, one on software coming out of the state and one on health plans. But we're moving forward at last.
And there were also some pretty big moves on addressing California's chronic shortage of housing. What were some of the big developments as they were heading into break?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest is that the legislature has agreed to place one of those two housing bonds that I mentioned on the ballot. This is going to be a multi-billion dollar expenditure that they go for. I will say is on the regulatory front that it has been a quieter year so far than last year when there was this major scale back of the California Environmental Quality Act, which is, of course, like the kind of reigning housing and development environmental law in the state and has been around for decades. We haven't seen the same kind of policy side, splash, but that could all change because a lot of the policy that gets passed in Sacramento comes in August.
What's on the agenda when legislators return in August?
One of the most interesting bills that I am watching is one from kind of our neck of the woods, Assembly Majority Leader Cecilia Aguiar-Curry. She has a pretty big overhaul of antitrust law that the California Chamber of Commerce and other business groups are fighting. She's gotten that through, the house that she is in, the assembly, which is a lot easier to do typically. But we're going to see if it's able to survive some heavy business opposition in the Senate, where, the lobbying campaign, I think, is going to be very, very intense in August.
Mm. Finally, Blake, I mean, the World Cup is ongoing across the country. I mean, the United States playing round of 16 game tonight. Several matches have been held throughout California, including in the Bay Area last week. It's definitely been this unifying force. I mean, I don't think there's a TV screen at any bar or restaurant that isn't playing the World Cup. What kind of an impact has hosting this global tournament had on California?
Yeah, well, I think you can just see from some of the local media reports in the Los Angeles area and in the Bay Area that this has been a big business boon. I think it's also been a nice political boost for some of the mayors in these areas who are going through some tough times. You see, Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, is facing a really serious election threat, but has at least had a little bit of a boost here. And then, you saw San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan, whose city is not technically hosting, but bordering Santa Clara is. And that's provided a boost to him and his city following his disappointing for him loss in the governor's race.
Blake, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And that was Blake Jones, co-author of Politico's California Playbook. Up next, on the heels of America's 250th birthday, we thought it'd be a good time to revisit our nation's founding document. The author of One Nation Under Law, The Meaning of the Declaration of Independence, will join us to address what he calls some of the big misunderstandings and myths surrounding the creation of our country. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.